Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. It's tempting to not say anything. You hear people bashing this or praising that, and you know better. At least you think you do. Do you speak up or remain silent? A character in the great Reformation drama of 5 centuries ago made a choice and paid the price. I'll let Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, explain. Lincoln, what can silence sometimes cost?
Well, yes, obviously, those that didn't speak out in Germany as Hitler gathered power.
Yes.
Either paid the price themselves, or they failed to save those that they could have earlier on, or maybe even stopped the overall chain of events. But we have an article that was placed in Liberty a while back, but it's just come out in the latest edition, and I thought it was worth running. This year is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, right, which you alluded to in your introduction. Hard to believe, 500 years since Martin Luther in 1517 nailed the 95 challenges or questions or theses to the door of Wittenberg Church. But he wasn't the only figure of the Reformation. There were some that preceded him and a few that came later. And one of the more interesting ones was a theologian named James Arminius. And he's hung about because the Arminian heresy is sort of named after him, or Arminians.
Yes.
He was Dutch, as I said before. Didn't live very long, from 1560 to 1609, which, of course, brackets most of the post-Luther period of the Reformation. He was well-respected, professor of theology at Leiden University. Things got really strange for him when, after his appointment, he was urged by some to defend the Calvinistic doctrine of predestination, which is pretty much the central point of Calvinism.
Yes.
The Reformation was based on free will, and Calvin pushed people's right to differ from the established church. But as far as salvation, he got hung up on those who were predestined to be saved, because the Bible says that God knows ahead of time who will be saved. But you can run that in an endless loop and think, if he's predestined you, therefore it doesn't sort of matter much. You're going to be saved.
Yes.
Well, that's not what it means. It's more like...
In other words, you're pre-qualified.
Yeah, that's another way of putting it, absolutely. Okay. There were attacks on predestination from a former secretary of William of Orange, one of the leaders of the Dutch Reformation, political leaders, who was assassinated. And the guy that he was supposed to challenge, Dirk Kornhut, was being called a libertine and all the rest. This is interesting.
Yes.
A libertine who favored full religious freedom for all within the Dutch domain. And that's why I picked up on this, because the issue at hand was true religious freedom, ironically now within a Protestant initiative. Ironically, Arminius found that he agreed with some of these views, but he chose not to respond, to enter the fight. But then, curiously, as he taught the students, and even in our age, the university professors periodically are accused of subverting the students behind closed lecture room doors. And this was the same with Arminius. He said provocative things from time to time. Early on, they came at him and said, well, you've really got to affirm that you're loyal to the church view here. And they made him twice reaffirm his ordination vows, in other words, a loyalty oath, which he did quite readily. And yet his views got out through the students. And he said, well, ask them. He says, you know, how can I be responsible for what they think? And he was quite willing to discipline the students who were pushing the ideas they're accusing him of, which was dissembling to some degree. Then he said something that I think is patently true, but it got him into trouble with the Calvinists. He says that Calvin and Beza, another theologian, were not infallible, and that anyone who disagreed with them should not be summarily regarded as unorthodox.
Hmm.
You know, this is shades of how the Catholic Church had treated Luther.
Right, right.
Denying your right to have your own thoughts, even if they're wrong, but you know, you could be persuaded, but to be coerced into orthodoxy, that's a dangerous sort of a thing. So he said, you know, they're not infallible, these are men. So the deputies because church and state were still close together, the deputies two or three times asked for interviews with him and wanted to find out from Arminius what he really thought. And rather cannily, he kept saying no. And I could see his point as sort of a Fifth Amendment defense. You know, I might be condemned by my own mouth. As he said, if you misunderstand me, you know, I'm not going to run that gauntlet. So right, he just refused to respond. Mm-hmm. And things slowly ratcheted up as the years went by. In 1605, the elders of the church at Leiden requested another conference with him. Then in November, the deputies demanded another conference, but he refused again. Then a year later, in 1607, he was approached by deputies who said he could divulge his views confidentially. Yeah. Obviously, if he said gave the wrong answer, it would cease to be confidential. Yeah. He finally, in 1609, said that he would make a full disclosure at the National Synod of the Church, and I'm quoting his own words, with no concealment of any area which they might complain. So that was in 2 years' time. He got away from them. He died before it could go to that point. But they were clearly gearing up to pillory him, or perhaps as a heretic, because his views were plainly repeated by some of his students. But Arminius refused to engage. And we've titled the article, Trial by Silence.
As I listen to you tell this story, I try to apply it to my own life and to our lives today. What's the take-home message for today on the story of James Arminius?
Well, let me quote something that he said.
Yes.
It's a paragraph long. He says, I never furnished a cause to any man why he should require a declaration from me rather than from other people by my having taught anything contrary to the word of God or to the confession and catechism. I did not consider myself at liberty to consent, lest I should by that very act, and apparently through a consciousness of guilt, have confessed that I have taught something that was wrong or unlawful.
That's a political answer right there.
Yeah. And again, two charges were put against him. Think about these charges. First, he refused to declare his beliefs.
Right.
And second, that he was trying to corrupt the Christian religion through false doctrines. But if he hasn't declared his beliefs, how can he be charged with the second?
That's true.
And he said further, he says, if I do not openly profess my sentiments, from what can their injurious tendency be made evident? I think he's a significant figure in the Reformation period, but I think it was an opportunity lost because he clearly had some views that we can deduce, but he harmed his influence and his own career and ultimately died somewhat in ignominy at the time, at least, because he really wouldn't fess up.
That was a dangerous time to fess up, though. I mean, he was facing a lot of pushback and possibly persecution and death if he said something.
Yes, but it's the big question. Do you keep quiet escape?
Yes.
Or do you give a public witness and take the penalty? And Arminius tried to thread the middle path.
Yeah, politically, yeah.
And I can't say that he was very successful. Mm. Now, we also in Liberty Magazine have had the story of John Wycliffe, who was not radically different from, as far as his life story, from Arminius, because he was also a teacher in England. And he was accused with varying degrees of intensity of heresy by the authorities. And Wycliffe ran a different line. He was less confrontational than Luther, but he didn't hedge. And he got away with it. Yeah. Wycliffe died of old age.
Yes.
So there must be the middle ground. And if there was, Wycliffe took it because there was no question what he stood for. But he didn't sort of throw the match into the flame like Luther did.
Yeah.
But I think Arminius is an object lesson as to the entanglement you can create. He didn't deny what he believed. Right. He just wouldn't really come clean.
You know, Lincoln, after I do these programs with you and the next week or so I'm on Facebook and I see posts of people who obviously have not listened to you or read the magazine or even opened a history book. And I wonder, should I say something? Should I speak up? And you're giving me some ammunition here that says, well, maybe I should. What's your take on that?
Yes, I think we need to, but not everyone's called to, like I say, figuratively throw the match into the
bonfire.
That's true.
But how do we know if we are or not?
Well, conscience is the guide
okay,
on this.
Okay.
And whether Arminius violated his internal conscience, I don't know. I think he came perilously close because he was trying to give the impression that he believed other than he did.
Yes.
I mean, he didn't deny it per se, but he dissembled so much that he wasn't as effective for those that shared his views. Mm-hmm. Or at the very least, when I alluded to, he seemed willing, it never happened, that he would damn his own students for sharing what he said if it came before him.
That's a temptation for a lot of us. We want to throw our friends under the bus. We want to throw the news media under the bus. But we should instead throw ourselves under the bus if that's what's important to get the truth out.
You know, our church, and I'm sort of half telling a tale out of school, but the Seventh Adventist Church has had a number of doctrinal challenges, like most groups. And one that I remember about 30 years ago, there was this very charismatic leader, and he came up, and at the end of the long story, he himself said that he hadn't believed certain key doctrines. Mm-hmm. But early on, when he was teaching the kids at the seminary, he denied vigorously that he was teaching the view that consequently led a high percentage of the ministry, in Australia at least, to leave.
Yes.
So I think it's the same thing. And whether he was right or wrong, I think he was wrong. I mean, he's on his theology. But I can have no respect for that sort of a guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that shows an underlying intellectual dishonesty. James Arminius understood the era of Calvin.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a reformer in that sense within Protestantism. But as far as the way he pursued it, he's not really a shining light among the reformers. He's a compromised figure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's long gone now and probably doesn't care. He can't care. But, you know, when you look at the historical figure, he's not as admirable as someone like Luther or Huss and the others that believed something, said it, made a stronger influence because of it, and, of course, then bore more penalty on themselves. But they were more effective in the long run because of their openness and steadfastness about their own beliefs.
I like that. Your take-home message sounds like you're saying when we consider whether to be silent or whether to say something, we don't look at the moment, we look at the future. We look at our place in the future. Am I on the right track here?
Absolutely. And we have to be true to, you know, Shakespeare said it, above all, to thine own self be true. But when we worship God, we have to be true to God. And we can't bring disrepute upon a greater truth by sort of hiding it because it might be negative for our lives or our career.
Wonderful marching orders for us today from Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine. Lincoln, thank you very much. Our website, www.libertymagazine.org. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.